This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. State Health and Human Services Secretary Aldana Vosh paid out hundreds of thousands of dollars to private contractors, apparently without written justifications. Agency rules require a memo to explain such hires, but HSS couldn't produce the documentation in a number of cases investigated by the News and Observer. And several of these contractors are being brought in to change Medicaid. That's beginning to raise some serious questions. Joe Neff is an investigative reporter for the News and Observer and joins me now. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Frank.
Tell us about the purpose of these justification memos for contract workers.
Well, when there are two types of contracts that require this. A sole source contract, when an agency does not put it out for bid to get the best price or the best deal, when they just say, we need it fast, or this is the only company that can do it. You need a justification memo for that. And for personal service contracts, when you're hiring a doctor, a nurse, a consultant, you also have to put a personal a justification memo in the contract file. And the purpose is basically to monitor the spending so that later, if a following administration or if an auditor or whoever wants to come into the contract file and say, was this awarded correctly, it will explain how and why it was done.
All right. And is this for just HSS or all state agencies?
This is all state agencies.
All right. So what are the contracts that we're talking about and what led to the investigation by the NNO?
Well, the contracts, we wrote about these contracts several months back. For example, the department hired Les Merritt, a former state auditor and prominent Republican, on basically a $300,000 plus contract annual to sort out the finances of the Division of Mental Health. The Secretary Vosh hired a guy named Joe Houck to help reorganize the department. Houck is actually the vice president in the logistics firm that Vosh's husband founded and owns. And then there's others, but we wrote about that and we got the contracts back in September, and I followed up asking for the justification memos, and it took several months, and because I believe that at least some of these memos exist, and we never got them. The department just said they can't be located. They can't be located. They can't be located.
When you ask the question, so they can't be located, and then you ask the next question, well, do you think they were lost or were they never written? What answer did you get then?
I asked, were they prepared? And the answer was non-responsive. It was staff could not locate them. So they never answered that, never directly in an extended email back and forth, never answered that question.
And of course, this raises legitimate questions about conflict of interest. Obviously, a former state auditor and certainly somebody who works for your husband's firm on a contract, you'd like to say, I mean, this is a legitimate question. When you're talking about state money, public money, why did you make this decision? And there is no memo. There's no justification, or at least
Correct.
None that you can find. There was one answer. I guess an attorney told you that it is something about the fact that because the secretary wrote these contracts or signed these contracts, according to the attorney, it wasn't necessary?
Correct. The attorney, Kevin Howell, who's a counsel for Secretary Vosh, said that the policy only applies to the parts of the department underneath the secretary. He said the intent of the justification memos are to inform the secretary of the spending and that the regulations do not apply to the secretary herself or the office of the secretary. And I asked for, well, show me where the rules or the law or the regulations say that. And I got no response. And because I've read the policies, I've read the regulations, I've read the law, and there is no exception for the office of the secretary.
So we talked about Houck, who is the vice president of her husband's company. We talked about Les Merritt, the former auditor. There were others as well, right? How many others?
I was interested in seven of them that were new that were unusual. Let's face it, the Department of Health and Human Services, they have personal service contracts, thousands of them probably every year, with doctors, psychologists, nurses across the state, and that's routine. But I was more interested in the ones brought in after the change of administration.
And many of these jobs are related to Medicaid, right?
Several of them are, yes, related to Medicaid.
So talk about that, because, of course, the McCrory administration, Governor McCrory himself, has been very critical of Medicaid, and there's been a lot of talk in this administration about reforming and overhauling Medicaid. And so a number of these contractors were brought in one way or another to look at that very question. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's true, yes. There's Robert Atlas is an independent expert in Medicaid reform and Medicaid waivers. The Menges Group is a consulting firm from Northern Virginia and the Belt, in the D.C. area, that is also a specialist in Medicaid issues. So they were brought in, yes.
And I guess the thrust of the changes would be more or less to privatize Medicaid. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it's unclear. The McCrory administration is not committing themselves to privatizing Medicaid, but they have sent clear signals that they would like to have more of a managed care model. It could be a mix of private firms, private insurance companies, private managed care firms, with perhaps a public entity, or it could be all managed care. It's very complicated. It requires, since roughly two-thirds of Medicaid is federal dollars, you would have to get all the permission and the waivers from the federal government. You need the General Assembly would have to approve it. So it's a long and complicated process to do that.
Of course, this state has had its own version of the computer glitch that we saw under the Affordable Care Act when the McCrory administration made changes to its computerized system as well.
Well, actually, the system that is going into place that is it's to process Medicaid claims. That is a mess that dates back to the Easley administration through the Purdue administration. One canceled contract, another that was months, years behind, and went up hundreds of millions of dollars. And the McCrory administration, their responsibility is that they had a go-live date of July 1st, and they decided to go ahead. They did not, wait and make further fixes. And if you talk to pediatric practices or doctors or hospitals around the state, this system has been a disaster for them. It's slowly getting better, but you hear a lot of complaints about claims not being paid, claims being rejected, and it was well foretold. I mean, the state auditor wrote about this, the News and Observer wrote about this a year ago. It was known well in advance that it was problematic.
So getting back to these justification memos, just in terms of the request that you've made, sort of how many hundreds of thousands of dollars in contractor fees are we talking about that aren't accompanied by memos?
Oh, God, it's probably in excess of $1 million. I haven't actually added it up that way, but off the top of the head, it's at least $1 million.
And what about the policy itself? Is there any sort of recourse now? I mean, is this something that the Attorney General looks at? Does the auditor look at these questions now about sort of where are the memos and what happens next if the Department of HHS can't produce them?
Well, someone would have to take an interest in that outside of the news media. I mean, there is a law, GS-143-58, if anyone's interested, that and it says that if a contract is awarded and the laws and the rules adopted, and that's the important part, the rules adopted, were violated, that the contract shall be void and of no effect. But the parties in this contract, DHHS and the contracted parties have no interest in bringing this. So I don't know who would take this on.
All right, Joe. Always good to talk with you. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Joe Neff, an investigative reporter for The News and Observer. Coming up next, Raleigh native and Project Runway finalist Justin LeBlanc talks about his time on the reality show and fashion and design and how the state of North Carolina matches up. You'll hear it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.